I would like to thank the session for giving me this opportunity to speak with y'all this morning and just share what God's put on my heart. So, show of hands, how many of us have had days where we don't accomplish anything? Yep. What about days that you get a lot done? You've been busy all day long, but when you look back over what you did that day, nothing important was finished. Happens to all of us. It's nothing to be ashamed about. Heck, it happened to me this week. I went through my sizable to-do list, got the whole thing done, got everything ready for open gym basketball on Friday, did some tech stuff for this week, and even finished the youth sermon for next Wednesday. Man, I was on fire this week. It was great. But then I looked back and realized I had missed something. The sermon for this week wasn't done yet. And it happens. It's something that happens all the time. So what was the problem? I'd worked hard all week. I didn't procrastinate on anything. Turns out, I just didn't have my priorities in order. And it's not just something that I go through. We all go through it, and even the church as a whole has had its bad days over the years. Long time ago, way back, way before Jesus, there was a prophet named Haggai. We find his story in the second smallest book of the Bible, but it's absolutely full of people losing focus on what was most important in their lives. Many years before Haggai came along, the Babylonian Empire came into Jerusalem. The Babylonians breached the walls, burned the gates, and just trashed the temple. When they left, they took a lot of the Jews with them as slaves and servants to be with them for a long time. After a 70-year exile, Persia defeated Babylon, and the Persian king Cyrus allowed the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem. And this is where the book of Haggai picks up. They've been gone for 70 years. They had started to rebuild their desolate city, try to rebuild the walls, get the gates back to where they were closed so they couldn't be invaded. But they had enemies that tried to stop them. They sent men to infiltrate the Jews and try to talk them out of rebuilding. And when that didn't work, they sent armies to invade. So what did the people of Jerusalem do? Well, they fell back on the same age-old pattern all of us go through. They failed, they lost faith, and they gave up. Fast forward 18 years. The people of Jerusalem were having a very hard time. Their crops were failing. They were in a drought. Why? They had rebuilt their houses and were trying to get life back as normal, but they had missed something. So God raised up a prophet, Haggai, to tell them what. What reason did Haggai give them? It shows it right here in chapter 1. The Lord Almighty says, "These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be rebuilt. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, while my house remains a ruin? Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Give careful thought to your ways." What God is showing them is that all of their current misfortunes were caused by their neglect of what was most important. The neglect of the temple, the house of God in the very center of lives for the Jews. While it lied in ruins, they weren't going to be getting anywhere rebuilding their own houses. For some of us, that is our everyday lives. We run and run and go and never actually move anywhere. How do you begin to move forward in your life and live the way that Christ calls us to live? We have to put the most important things first. This container that Dr. Coker showed to the children represents your life and your schedule. You have a lot of things to fill it with. You just have to organize it properly. So you have to start with the most important things, the big rocks. The big rocks represent the most important things in your life, your personal goals. What these big rocks are going to be different for every person. For Christians, God should always be a big rock. But others can be family, friends, or working for a cause that really speaks to you. Things that you make time for. And like a doctor's appointment, these aren't rescheduled. You block off this time, and you do them. Every week or every month when you have them scheduled. You don't change them, and they are the foundation on which you build your life. Then you add smaller things. Smaller rocks, like the gravel. They're things that support your big rocks. They could include a particular project at work, if work is a big rock for you, or a specific activity that you and your family enjoy doing. Then they added sand. The things that add only minimal value to what you do, including just your regular everyday hobbies, playing video games, knitting, things like that. Things you enjoy, but don't affect your long-term goals in life. Sometimes they pile up, like they showed with the sand, and you have to rearrange it and sift it to get everything into the gaps in your schedule. But there's still room for more. The water is everything else, all of the ways that we waste time, from playing on Facebook, reading funny websites, and binge-watching Netflix, which I do myself sometimes. These are things that really add no value to our lives. But the water can trickle down through the gaps that everything else leaves, allowing you to enjoy your free time without taking up the important things in life. And now the container, which represents our lives, is entirely full. If we had put the water in first, as the children had said, the big rocks would have made it overflow. There wouldn't have been enough room. But since we put in the most important things first, we still have plenty of time to do all of the things we love without sacrificing the things that Christ has called us to do. Luke chapter 12 gives us the same principle. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more important than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more important are you than the ravens? Do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Don't worry about it. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. If we are willing to put God first, He will provide everything else we need. If a big rock of yours is family, He will provide the job that it takes to support that family. If it's missions, He will provide the calling that leads you to that. Out on the narthex today, there is a table with a basket. In that basket, it has some of these large rocks in it. As you leave today, take one of them with you. Write on it the most important things that you have in your life. The things that you believe God is calling you to. Whether those things are your family, your job, or some special ministry. Whatever they are, write them on it. Then keep that rock where you can see it every day as a reminder to put God first in your life. I want to close with a quote. There's a researcher, an author, named Albert E. N. Gray. Back in the 40s, he was trying to find the reason that successful people were successful when the rest of us weren't. And he wrote it into a book called The Common Denominator of Success. Here's what he found. Successful people have the habit of doing things that others don't like to do. They don't like doing them either, necessarily, but their disliking is subordinated to the strength of their purpose. If you can remember and are willing to put God first in your life, the rest will follow, and you will fulfill His purposes for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.